Greetings, everyone. This is the extended session for Season 6, Introduction to the Manual, Love is Not a Game, and Open Conversation. Call, and it's back on now.
Okay. Who we got online with us?
I'm not sure yet because I can't see the switchboard when I'm on the phone, and I just could literally, like, as soon as I started the show, I called you. So, Harriet, or
okay.
Is anyone there?
All right. So, So let me call a couple people and connect them. All right.
Okay.
Hold on.
We're back on the line.
Okay. I'm here.
Yes.
Back.
I'm here too.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh. All right, Harriet's
likewise.
Back.
Likewise.
Great. Okay, so Blue, Harriet, Queen, and myself. Is Shirley making back yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the switchboard then?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, if anyone else is listening, this broadcast is a continuation from Season 1, Episode 1, In Love Is Not a Game, and we're just continuing with the conversation and having a good conversation about communication and about how it can extend beyond form and beyond what we are normally accustomed to. Because if we're looking at the content of communication, the content is love. And someone tell me, how does love feel, Queen? How does it feel when you're feeling love? How do you feel?
I feel happy.
Okay.
I feel
happy.
At peace.
At peace. So when you're expressing loving thoughts, let's say over the phone or in person to your partner, that you genuinely feel, do you genuinely want to express, how do you feel?
I feel at peace.
And when you're just thinking those thoughts or writing those thoughts in your book or just dreaming about it or just visualizing all the or remembering all the loving times you had together with your partner by yourself, I mean in a room by yourself, how do you feel?
The answer is the same, at peace.
Therefore, communication is an expression of love. Communication is appreciation. Appreciation is loving thoughts. Loving thoughts do not have to be spoken or written or expressed or putting on a card or anything in order for them to be, in order for them to be communicated. We're talking about something a lot deeper here, and we're talking about a purpose. If our purpose is to be at peace, and if I have peace thinking loving thoughts about you or sharing them with you, then what's the correct way to do it?
There's
no correct way.
Exactly. In whatever way brings you your goal, right, your purpose. But if you sit, but how about this? If you're thinking thoughts that are not bringing you peace and those thoughts appear to be about your partner, what should you do?
Stop.
Just stop, right?
What if
you're having a conversation with your partner, you're in the same room, you'd be in the same bed, you could be in the same whatever, car, and you're talking back and forth to each other, but the conversation is not, you're not feeling closer, you're not feeling joy, you're not feeling peace. What should you do with those words in that conversation?
Stop.
Shut up.
All right. So therefore, we need to stop with this attachment to the form thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very sure that the same person that you may think that you have a lot of love and peace with, been in the room with them or on the phone with them, and you wanted nothing more than to be separate, which means that their presence means what?
Nothing.
Their absence, physical absence, means what?
Nothing.
It's back to setting the goal. And if you're not joining on a common purpose and a common curriculum, then you're going to get caught up in the program. Because remember, you and your partner are programmed. And guilt doesn't feel natural, so we're going to want to project it. So you're going to automatically project that guilt and fear onto them and think that they're the cause of your upset. That automatically kicks in the mechanism of trying to control the situation, which usually results in you trying to get them to change, even if it's to change how often they call you or how much they pick up their phone. That is an expression of attack and subjugation and tyranny in the relationship. And if your partner falls, if they submit to that, to your attack and subjugation, then you are in a slave-master relationship and not in a relationship among free partners. And again, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it in those terms, because I can break this down backwards and forwards. This is all I do all day long. So nobody don't come up in here trying to talk to me about some form means something because it's getting shut down. It doesn't matter because that's just the program. All right, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what it is. Form is meaningless. And we, again, need to remember the content and trust. Trust and obey. Trust and obey our curriculum. Trust and obey love. Because love plans a plan. We plan the plan. And love is the best of planners, not us. And you could tell by the way your life is going and turns out when you try to plan stuff. So let's just stop.
Just stop.
There's a primary difference between our plan and love's plan, and we were just talking about this. So when we're planning for ourselves, who does that plan primarily include or involve?
Us. Yep.
Right. just us, or
just
maybe
us.
one or a few special people. When love plans a plan, who's involved in it?
Everyone.
Everybody.
And what's the purpose of the plan?
Happiness.
For who?
Everybody.
All right. So how could you possibly, in your simple-minded plans, think that you could achieve a state of happiness with everybody based on your level of form and your plan? Which that's automatically disqualifies right there. It's like we've got a job position opening. Okay, what's the job position? Yeah, we need somebody that's able to arrange time and space in a situation that everybody involved achieves maximal and total complete fulfillment about it. What do you think you can do that? All right, we didn't think so. So please sit down and trust and obey. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, that rhymes.
All right, Shelly's back with us for the second time because she got dropped already. So she's back again. 9970, your mic is live.
Thank
you.
You're welcome. My phone was having a call for love, I guess. It just kept cutting off every time you're making a vital point, man.
Oh boy! Well, I'll say it again. I'm not attached to how your phone behaves. I'll say the truth. Ten more, however many times it takes. So, did you hear what we said about planning?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Queen, could you run that back?
Sure. So I'll ask the question that you asked. So, Shirley, feel free to answer if you want to. When we make plans for our, when we make plans, who are they generally for?
Ourselves.
Yeah. And when love makes plans, who does it involve?
Everyone.
Exactly. And so to think that our limited way of planning would best suit us is an error. So that's why it's important for us to just trust the guidance that is beyond us, which is love, and trust and obey. Because love's plan always includes everyone, all the time, in every situation. So there it is.
All right. Thank you.
You know that's
Thank
a
you.
Song, Trust and Obey. One of
yep.
my favorite songs.
Yeah, I was singing it last night when I was listening to the call.
Every time I hear
no,
it,
so,
I sing
yeah.
it. I'm like,
yep.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust and obey, because there's no other way.
That's right.
That we hear and we obey.
That's right. Just to be happy.
Uh-huh.
To be happy and Jesus, but to trust and obey. Right.
That is right.
Say, I hear and I obey. There it is.
It's funny because I had a revelation a week and a half ago. I believe it was about a week ago, something like that. And it was in regards to trusting and obeying and I'm going to go back to my notes really so I can see what I yeah so the end result of obedience is what I received was to delight in happiness, right? Full fulfillment, having joy, peace, security, prosperity, and the big one, sustainability, as long as we know we're trusting it. You know, and Naeem, I don't know if you remember when I shared this with you and you said, we got to put willingness in there somewhere. So I had trust, belief, faith, willingness, obey, patience, and then receive. Receive. Which all came down to once you trust and obey, you delight in happiness.
Definitely, Shirley, I missed it.
No problem. I'll repeat it for you 10 times.
thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, I was talking about the revelation that I had that I shared with you last week about trusting and,
yes.
and believing and having faith. And then you said to me, well, there's got to be a place where we can put willingness there. And I remember saying to you that the willingness is actually trusting and believing and having the faith, and then you obey. Once you have obedience, then you can only delight. Your end result is to delight in happiness, fulfillment, joy, peace, security, prosperity, and sustainability. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was saying.
I like how you have willingness with obey, because I mean, if obey means to even to on a level of thought, not obey like, you know, go make a cup of tea or something, but obey like decide to say when you're feeling upset, I'm not upset for the reason I think. Say that to yourself. That's obeying love. That's following love. You know, because we don't like to think of ourselves as obeying the program, yet that's what we do.
We don't like to think of ourselves as submitting to the program, yet that's what we do whenever we're not feeling good. We don't like to think of ourselves as being a slave to the program, but that's what we do. The Course says you'll either be a host to love or hostage to the program, but they're both by your willingness, you know. We don't like to think of ourselves as, again, making the program our master. That's what we do, you know, because it can't do anything without our consent. That's the thing. It cannot do anything without your consent. It's not forcibly, and people say, oh, you know, well, you didn't stick a gun to my head. Well, there's examples where people have stuck guns to people's heads, and people said, you know, you just better pull the trigger because I'm not going to do whatever you're trying to force me to do. So even threatening someone's life is not enough to force them to do something or to obey or to submit to you. So there is literally nothing that the program or anyone else could hold over you, poverty, sickness, death, et cetera, that could make you obey it. And when you think of it like that, you know, you're pretty damn powerful, right? Because once you get over the fear of death, the Course says when you get over the fear of death, you're good, you know? They said there's nothing more dangerous than a man with nothing to lose, all right? You better watch out for them. And not just a man, but anybody. They're like, listen, and I'm not, and in the context that I heard it first, it was in kind of a negative, like, oh, they've lost everything already, so they're just they don't care what you do to them. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. But how about this? We have nothing to lose because we have everything. So therefore, what can you take from me if I have everything? Same thing I was making the joke yesterday is like, you know, you get pulled over and they're like, license and registration. I'm like, bam, here's the equation, all right? Take that. That's my registration. What you want to do? They're like, sir, you got to come with us. I'm like, I'll go anywhere because it doesn't matter. Wherever I go, I'm going to be free. You know why? Because I have love, and love is freedom, and love goes with me wherever I go. I'm not over here trying to bargain with somebody for physical freedom, because it's people who have all the physical freedom and wealth and financial and et cetera in the world, but are mentally enslaved by their own, you know, programmatic scripts and thoughts and misery. So I'm free. It doesn't matter. I'm like, shoot, if I go to jail, I'm gonna write so many books. It's going to be like a book a week, you know. I'm going to have so much time. They're like, oh, shoot, this guy, let's just let him out because he's doing too much damage. He's got too much time on his hands. Like, at least when he's out, he got stuff to do. He got to work. He got to go to class. He got to teach. He got a radio show. Now all he's doing is writing all day. You know, we need to stop. Let's let him go. Doesn't matter.
That's funny.
So it don't matter. Like, I'm going to deliver the message of love. That's what I came here to do, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going to continue to do. I'm not going to let any form, any specialness, any program try to threaten and bully me into submission, because I only submit to the will of love, because love's will is my will, and therefore it's like submitting to myself. And if you really want to be in control, then why don't you do that? Why don't you just be yourself? And that's love. Yeah. Boom shakalaka. So back to what you were saying, I like to trust, believe, faith, and obey, and willingness, and receive, you know, as in patience and waiting. And the definition for patience is those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait and wait without anxiety. So, and also infinite patience brings immediate effects or immediate results, because you are not worried about when it's going to happen because you know that it's going to happen. So
yeah.
It's a good formula. I'm about to make that into a mathematical equation.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
It all came from love.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we want to continue with the last page of the introduction.
Yes. I think it was my turn.
I think it's the last to read,
Well,
so
yeah,
JJ, is it your turn?
So page 27, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll continue. So the program's insane ideas about love were repeated to you over and over and over and over again in different forms until you finally adopted them as your ideas. By repeating love's ideas, we are using the principle of repetition in the service of love. There is a lot of repetition in this manual. This manual contains a lot of repetition. It repeats itself a lot. Why? All of the ideas contained in this manual are connected, so they will be repeated to reinforce their importance. Repetition will save you time in the deprogramming process. Again, repetition will save you time in the deprogramming process. Proceed with this manual. You are prepared. You know the purpose of this manual. You know the premises it is based on. You know what it promises you. You know you are asked to play your part and practice and participate in the process. I like the alliteration. You know it is based on universal principles. You know how it will be presented to you. You know your relationship will undergo a purification process. You know this manual is written for partners and that you and your partner are the same. You know you will encounter the program. You are prepared. You may proceed. And that is the end of that section.
That's big of appreciation for the alliteration. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Appreciation for alliteration. There we go.
I love it.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
You know, I like that you kept on saying, you know the purpose of this manual, you know the premises, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowledge is certainty and certainty is strength. So we can continue on in certainty and strength. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you do know it.
Yes.
Yes. So that was the introduction. And all the promises and the premises and everything that the author has promised the reader. Or the participant, you know, this is our sixth season in this, and we know it to be true.
Yes.
We know it to be true in the fact
and
that the author has came through and gave what he promised in a little bit of time, too. It didn't take 600 pages. It didn't take 800 pages. It didn't take all this big, you know, mammoth textbook to be able to get the message.
And as we went through in the last season, we went over this, Harriet, you actually went through this, you know, briefly, all of the different P's, the purpose, premise, and promise, and you saw at the end, back to the beginning, that everything in the middle delivered on what it said in the beginning, right? So
now that you
know that, I mean we've known that, but also the simplification also of the questions in the back of the manual. What was the answer to all of them?
The same.
goal in a common curriculum.
Exactly.
And you know that's how you know that the book is truly inspired by God and is of God, because God always delivers on his promises. So this is, you know, the book, it delivers on the promises.
No doubt.
Very
no doubt.
Thankful.
And we
no
said along with the problem.
And it's consistent.
Yep.
God is a consistent God, and he is not, he is not the author of confusion, so no one should ever be confused with what has been written. So, yeah. Thank you, Naeem, for being the
vessel. No room for interpretation.
Yes, how about that? And you're welcome, Shirley, and everyone, because love delivered on its promise. Like, I'm only restating the promise of love in this form, so I can only deliver on the promise of what I'm saying, because I'm not saying my own thoughts or my own ideas. These are ideas. It's just like if I say, hey, everybody, I'm going to teach you the periodic table of elements from chemistry. Do I need to go and reinvent something, or do I just need to Google it and then just tell you what I see on the periodic table, on a chart, right? It's like it's already there. It's, you know, periodic table. Just now, if I could make it into a book where it would be easy for people to understand, then that's great. At the same time, I don't have to make up anything, because these principles, love and fear, already exist. Periodic table already exists. All you need to do is know exactly what you're talking, know exactly your purpose, and deliver the message, and don't let yourself get in the way. And that's what we have out here, a lot of talkative writers. Like I said, they talk too much. Why is your book so damn long? You know? Why? You know, can you just tell me, can you just say what you're going to say? It's like, yeah, everybody, I'm going
to tell
you the secret
to
happiness.
Story.
Yep, all the stories.
It all started back
Page
in the fields of Georgia. You know? It's like it didn't start in
and
the fields of Georgia for
all
me.
Of that.
You know,
get to the point.
But here's the thing: if they say, like, once they say something like, "I'm gonna tell you to the best of my knowledge and experience," what should you do with that book?
Throw it away.
Close it.
Yes. Don't even give it to nobody. Burn it. Okay. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth your time, and it's not worth anybody's time. I'm telling you. But also, I appreciate those books because they gave me. Again, this book, Love is Not a Game, that you hold in your hands or that you're seeing, was written out of frustration, anger, and just straight up, I had enough of this, you know? And it was inspired by love, but at the same time, I used my frustration and anger in the service of love, because I was like, why is there nothing that has any consistency out here that's going to help me in all of my relationships all the time? It's like some of it helps some of the relationships sometimes, but that's not good enough, because the same strategy, which is a game, used in the same relationship at different times, backfires. So I can't
not reliable.
Do that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I looked in a lot of these different books, and they just showed me how big a call for love and a call for clarity that is really out here, because I'm like, if this can be a bestseller, and I'm just talking about millions of people reading this stuff, then
and taking it in as the truth,
yeah, and getting hurt, then we can also make love available in the same way. Okay, so that's all I know.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. No doubt.
And also,
no doubt.
There's a version of what you, that formula you were offering, Shirley, which is said in the book. It's, in the next book, it'll be a lot more clear. But basically, the four steps are recognition that you need help, deciding that you want help, asking for the help, and then receiving the help. And in the receiving would be, you know, the willingness as well to stop, you know, your own way. Because we can get all the way up to that point and then still not receive. It's like calling 911. I recognize I have a problem. The house is burning down. And then I decide I don't want to have this problem anymore. So I ask for help. I call 911. And then when they get here, I don't want to let them in. Well, let's not use fire because, you know, the fire department is going to bust in anyway. But, like, medical, right? Like,
yes, they will bust in.
Yeah. But, like, the medical people, the EMTs, like, they're not, you don't open the door for them. You're like, yeah, I'm struggling in here. It's hurt. I'm hurt. Like, well, open the door. I don't trust you. Show me your ID. Slide it under the door and all this other stuff. It's like, didn't you just call us 5 minutes ago? Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. Where you going to take me? I'm not going. I don't know. I don't trust y'all. So then all the way up to that point, you still not being helped because you didn't receive it. So the willingness is to obey. If help is coming your way, then just obey. Trust and obey.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's only okay if it's okay either way.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Oh. Well.
Yeah. Well, is there any other thoughts you want?
Why, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yes, Blue.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I like what you were saying earlier when we had first started, and you said that you were in heaven.
Yes. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I recognize that and not, you know, let the programmatic thought sabotage it. Just to be able to be in that space, to value what is valuable.
Amen.
Doing things that's meaningful to or allow love to operate through me, which is my will and love are one, which is, you know, being able to just dedicate my time doing what I want to do. And still have my needs being met while in physical form. It's just truly a blessing and an honor. And so I like to express gratitude for it because I've experienced being in the physical and what you would call hell. And so every day, it's being is just a treat. Just being is a treat in itself. So just to be able to experience life on this side of the seeing, you know, it's truly an honor. You know, it's like a different world.
A different world.
Yeah. Everything the Course in Miracles or any truth teaches, promises, is actually what it is. And I'm able to experience it while still in a physical form. So,
yeah.
I'm grateful for that.
Yes.
And that's not attached to any form, so to speak, like not being attached to that. It's... And being okay either way, just that whole being able to just wake up and truly be able to live in a space from guidance, like wherever love will have me go or be, I can show up that way in that true wonderment without having to worry or... Because I know love, I always got it. So just to be able to remember love and to also see what it's like to not be with it while still having the perceptions and learning how to express it in its physical form, to be a witness to love, truth that it is true and it not have to come from the great beyond of somebody else. It's somebody. It's people here that's in a physical form. that are witnessing to this. So, I mean, and to be a part of that is an honor and a pleasure.
We waiting for the tattoo, Blue. It's only okay if it's okay either way.
For real.
Yay.
It is coming. Yes.
Okay, either way. All right. Well, that is a true blessing, Blue.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that.
That is a true blessing. Yeah.
And I want to share some thoughts because I'm, you know, writing a lot of notes in my book, you know, even as we're talking. And, you know, more and more it's becoming symbolic forms of, you know, writing. Like, I'm not writing in words anymore. I'm writing in formulas because that's what this is. It's a language. And, you know, for love we have, love is, what's the symbol for love? Love is infinite, right? So what's the symbol we should use for love?
Infinity.
Right.
Yeah. What is the infinity sign?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, yeah.
Can you repeat that for me one more time, please? I did not hear you.
What symbol should we use for love since it's infinite?
The infinity sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That infinity sign encompasses all of these words that we call trust, that we call appreciation, peace, and all that. Why? Why is it that? Because all of those are equal. All of them equal everything. If you have peace, you have everything. If you have trust, you have everything. If you have freedom, you have everything. The results of it are the same. You have innocence, you have everything. So the results of all of those things are the same, which is why, you know, it always equals to itself, you know. But since fear is nothing, what is the symbol we use for fear or the program?
Zero.
Exactly. And here's something that I figured out today. Love equals love because love is everything. So infinity equals infinity. But what is zero equal? What is fear equal?
Nothing.
Zero.
Exactly. So it's like by even saying zero equals zero is not mathematically correct. You know why? Because equals, well, actually, do you know, you want to know why?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the symbol equals means is. Is is the word
right.
That comes from the root term to
mm-hmm.
be. If you are to be something, you have to be something. You cannot be nothing. So zero cannot, you cannot be zero and then be something. So you cannot say zero is. So the really correct way to write the equation with the program equals, guess what
mm-hmm.
it is? To not
zero.
Write anything at all.
I was just thinking.
Don't write anything at all.
Yeah. It's nothing.
A blank space?
Yeah. It's nothing. It really doesn't take up any. It's like it's nothing. So even though the symbol zero is representative of nothing, nothing actually has no state of being. So nothing cannot really equal into anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No
yet
doubt.
The experience of nothing, meaning fear, that we're talking about, that content, on to us, it is or it feels like pain, guilt, separation, upset. That's what it feels like. But we need to know in the back of our minds that it really actually is nothing. All of this is nothing, and we don't even need to respond to it. So, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Got it.
You're welcome.
No doubt.
Yep, it's a language. It's language. So, anything anyone else wants to share before we sign off?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate everyone for joining, and thank you all for your questions and for taking the time and the willing, having the willingness, you know, trust and obey, the willingness to join in the curriculum and of healing, because, again, I grow every time I join, and it's very vital to what I'm doing and to what we all are doing together and with everybody and every relationship we have. So thank you, and, you know, appreciate you all. And remember, you are all appreciated by love.
Equally and maximally.
Yes. Even if no one is saying it to you, it is, because it's everything. Love does not,
yes.
Communication is not limited to the small range of channels your world recognizes. That's the line from the Course. So, if we truly want to communicate, we need to step up our perception, our awareness of things.
Yeah. And that goes beyond what you can see with your physical eyes. So, yeah.
We believe that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh.
All right.
Well, thank you, Blue. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naeem.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
And
thank you, everyone.
You sign us off, Shirley?
Hello? Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for answering the questions. So, yes, I will. Thank you for using Love Talk Radio. Good night.
Good night,
good
everyone.
Night.
Thank you, Shirley.
Be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
Yes.
Yes. Have a blessed night, everybody.
Yes, you also.
Thank you.
They remember love.